Hi, this is Mark Brady. I'm the pastor at Anchor Faith Church in Valdosta, Georgia. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast today. We believe it will bless you and minister to you. Now get ready to receive a word from God.
So this is my wife, Terry, for some of you that don't know. We got some new people here. Give it up for my wife. Hey, Andrew, how you doing? And then this is my one of my grandsons. This is Jack. This is Madeline. Madeline, something happened to Madeline this morning in the prayer room. She got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. And then this is Charlotte. You want to say something? Okay. So give it up for these guys. I don't always have my grandkids with me. I was thinking about, where's Cade? There he is. Cade, you remember y'all were down in, you were with Jack down in Chiefland. We did this weekend conference where we called it Activation, and Jack and Cade were together. I think it was just y'all two, or was there somebody with you? I can't remember. And they were out talking to just, we were on the streets, and this is crazy. We got kids saved on Friday night. Some of them were already saved. Then we got them filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Kim's not here today. She's okay. Lydia's mom, which is my sister-in-law, that's Terry's sister. She's my secretary. I got my wife and my sister-in-law. They control my, anyway, they don't. They are a blessing, both of them. I'm very blessed. They were out and they walked up to this guy. You want to tell the story? Come tell it. I mess it up. Do you remember? Do you remember it, Jack? They don't remember. I'm going to have to tell it. Okay. That's okay. I put them on the spot. So they were in some store, I guess, or something, right outside a store. And they walked up to this lady with some children. Is that right? Okay. And they said, is there anything we could pray for you about? And she proceeded to say, we just left a funeral at her niece or her sister's baby had died. And they just melted when they said, can we pray for you? And they began to pray, and I think Jack and Cade, and they were all coming back and telling these stories, and she says, man, God sent you, and thank God for you, and especially having another child with you praying, and it just meant so much. You know, you don't know what people are going through. I just recently heard a story. There was this guy, he was happened to be a youth pastor. He was a manager at Starbucks, and somebody came through the line and had ordered a latte, and proceeded to tell him, you didn't get my latte right. Put too many pumps or something. And just went off on the employee to the point where it was so bad that he closed the door. He said, this is just out of control. And he said he opened it back up, and the guy just started going off on him again. He just closed it. Finally, his manager came down. And after about three times, this guy just yelling, screaming, cussing. The manager walked up to him. Thank God he was a Christian. He said, sir, I'm going to make sure I'm getting this right. Every time I told this story, I started crying to him. He said, sir, your response is not worthy of a messed up latte. What's going on in your life? And the guy broke down and said, I just got diagnosed with cancer. See, so we're so caught up, and I'm going to fix this guy. I'm going to show him. You know, you don't know what people are going through. And in fact, I just decided if I get a response that's not worthy of a, I didn't say hello, or I didn't look at you right, then something's going on. Chase, you probably see this way more than when they walk in the door, you see an attitude, and the next day you don't see an attitude. You got to determine there's something going on at the house. And folks, I learned a lot about going into schools. Terry, you've probably seen this. They don't have children problems at the school. There's no student problems. It's called parent problems. Or it's coming from the house. Because if there was a problem with me, Chase, and you call my dad, there ain't no more problems. The problem is solved. I will wash every school bus you got. I will do push-ups. I will do anything, but do not call my father. But you don't have that anymore, you know. I'm going way off target here. But I'm going to just do this real quick. I don't want to take a lot of time. I have books out there. They're free. That's the best deal in town. If you want to get one, sell it on eBay. You might. It's got my picture. One of the kids at the school said, that looks like George Washington on a quarter. I've decided that wasn't a compliment, Chase. You remember that show, Kids Will Say the Darndest Things? Wow. It kind of does look like George Washington on the quote. You'll never look at that the same. Look at Stacy. Stop laughing now. Thank you. So it's a really a good read. Steve Carr, he's been handing them out everywhere. I get people, we just handed out, we're getting ready to take some to Eccles County because I forgot to take them last time I went. And I can't give them out. I just put them on the table. But guess what? They take one. We were just at Lowndes Middle School on last Friday. And we gave out 250, I think. They took 250. We had a FCA club. It was powerful. Chase, they gave us 30 minutes. We went an hour. But it was a club meeting. We preached. We were speaking the word of God over kids. And they were saying, can you give me a word? Can you give me a word? I'm thinking, man, where's this been? The principal said, don't stop. I kept looking at him. And then finally the FCA said, we have to end by 9 o'clock because there's something going on. I said, we'll make it. And the kids were coming up to us. We had a kid, and that reminds me. So get a book. If you don't have a book, if you know some young person, a grandchild, or somebody that needs, it's about vision, purpose, and destiny. And then it talks about Jesus. And then we have this right here. This is an Instagram thing that we started. Was it YouTube? I'm not. Institute, whatever. If you go on there, you'll see some familiar faces, some young people. We can actually promote this in the when we're doing the club meetings, and the kids do the. It's got like a little QR code. They can go on there. We had a young man that went on there that got touched. They said that he was the worst kid in the school, and he responded to our Instagram. And the scripture that was given to him was Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. And he came down to one of the coaches, Coach Clemens, your principal, yeah, Jermaine. He goes, son, you just got a word from the Lord. I was like, glory to God. But I like it when you got the school working with you. Hallelujah. And then you can get that. And then we also do a devotional that goes out. It goes out every day. It's called Daily Stir. You can sign up for that. First name, last name. Don't write in tongues so we can read it. There's a table out there for that. Get a book. It needs to be legible, please. Sometimes it's hard. You know, you mess up a dot on an email, bang, it's coming back. So I think I took care of business. Is that everything? If you're interested in supporting our ministry, you can pray about that. I don't ask people to support us. I ask people to pray about supporting us. God may tell you not to. Then you obey God. Hallelujah. So if you got your Bibles, you can open them up. I think we're going to start out at 1 Thessalonians. It worked out real good that the screen's not working back here today. Hallelujah. So I don't have to worry about my notes. Lydia was saying, send me your notes. And I said, okay. And she goes, never mind. We don't have a screen. So I hope you got your Bibles today. I don't use my phone. I'm old school. In fact, I might need that little yellow notebook down there. I mean, the blue one. Yeah. I know what I want to do. I'm going to read something to you that Darren Eddings sent me. It was a word. This is powerful. I'm going to read this, and we could go home after I read this. But we're not. We could. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. And Pastor Mark, if I was Pastor Mark, I would have done read this, but I appreciate it. He's not, it ain't about him. It's about Jesus. Amen. But I knew something was up. We were praying. This was a month ago. This was on March the 6th. It's dated. We were praying, and then he came up and got the microphone, which was a little unusual, about in the middle of the, and he gave this word. And it's a text. It's in fine print. Are you ready? Please listen. I am bringing you deeper to a flow you've never seen before. To a flow you've never known before. You will experience things you've only imagined. You will see things you've only heard. You'll address things in the spirit. And I need you in my flow because I need you in the know. For in the flow and in the flow is the know. Whenever you get into the flow of the Spirit, you will get into the knowing of the Spirit. to know the things that are beyond natural comprehension, to know the things that are beyond natural understanding. I'm bringing you into a deeper place. So get in tune with the rhythms of the Spirit, of my Spirit. I need you in sync with my Spirit. When I step, you step. When I speak, you speak. Hear my voice. Follow my Spirit. Be diligent to press in. Do not rely on your natural ability. Do not rely on your natural reasoning. Folks, I don't know about you. That right there just knocked me down in the dirt. For where I'm taking you cannot be naturally comprehended. For where I need you to go, what I need you to know, will not be obtained in natural ability alone. You knew me as the God on high. Now you will know me as the God within. You knew me as the God that reigns above it all. Now you will know me as the God that reigns in and through you. I'm drawing you closer. I'm drawing you near. Stay in the flow. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Continue to press in. Continue to draw. Continue to yield to my Spirit. And I will show you wonders. I will show you glory. I will manifest my presence, and the church will be edified. The word will be convicted. The world will be convicted, and the King will be lifted up on high, says the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, somebody had asked me for a copy of that, and somebody had recorded it but didn't get the whole thing. Darren's quick with the hands. He got it turned on, got it recorded, and I think Caitlin or somebody typed it out. Somebody did. I'll give you credit. Hallelujah. So if you want that, I'll make sure Lydia gets it or Myrna or somebody, and we'll get it out to everybody. Because I would print that. I should have already printed it. That's a new word. And the word that was coming to me multiple times, Geraldine, I think probably for about the last 8 weeks, maybe somewhere in there, was a knowing, a going, a flowing, and a showing. I like what Pastor Mark taught on last week. He made a show of the enemy openly. It's like they used to parade the enemy in a parade with chains in their nose or something. I don't know what they did. But you know what I mean? Like the victory march through town. So I'm telling you, folks, we need to get ready. You know, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, you may not feel like that, Tommy, every day. Like, I don't feel like I'm even seated in the kitchen. You know what I mean? If I could just make it to the kitchen, I'd be happy. You know what I mean? Listen, we all have that. But we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we think. We're not even moved by what we see. Now, I'm not a teacher. That may become apparent. But I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Mark was not teaching last Sunday. Pastor Mark was preaching. And folks, when he starts preaching, I kind of back up. He's fixing the throwing thing. I love it when he preaches. Now I love his teaching gift. I mean, the Lord drew me here because of his teaching gift. The teaching gift is an anointed, amazing thing. Chase is a teacher. I love to hear Chase teach. He breaks it down, defines it, highlights it. But I guarantee you, I've seen Chase, a little preaching come on him, and it'll be more, you know what I mean? And you just go with it. Like, okay, it's here. I'm going to go with it, you know what I mean? So Pastor Mark was preaching. I was talking to Stacy and Ken. Ken left his wife at church and forgot to give her a ride home. he did not do that. I don't know if he forgot afterwards, but he actually did a great thing. I'm gonna give a shout out to Ken. There was some people that had come to church and they didn't have a ride. They had got an Uber here, and Ken was asking, "Can somebody give him a ride?" I said, "Yeah, I can probably give him a ride." And I watched, and look, Ken, he goes, "You know what? I'm gonna take him right now. I'm gonna give him a ride." Well, about after service, we're sitting, and Stacy's sitting on the bench. She goes, "I'm waiting for Ken." So we had two vehicles. We just let her take one of our vehicles, and she got home anyway. I guess he was probably ministering to the people. You probably were. I'm sure you did. But thank you for what you did. So, and we need more people like that. We're looking for somebody to go do something, and the Lord may be saying, "Won't you do?" And he signed up and he did it. And that was a blessing. Thank you. So he didn't leave his wife at church. Okay. We want to make sure you got that. Why did I say all that? Where was I going? Baby, you're supposed to help me. 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Thank God for my wife. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians. If you know where that is, then help me. My grandkids are leaving. She's had enough. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I hear pages turning. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going somewhere this morning, I promise you. And if you'll just hold on. We're going somewhere. You need where I was going to title this. I don't like titles too well. But Pastor Mark's been teaching on the reigning spirit. And I thought about, we got to maintain the reigning spirit. Because we're no different than the youth. They go off to youth camp, they're all fired up, and they kind of dwindle down about 3 weeks later. You know what I mean? We see that. And we want to stay at that place where we're acknowledging God in all our ways. And He will direct our paths. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not acknowledging God in all my ways. I'm not. I'm just, we get sidetracked. We get hit in the head with a 2x4 because somebody said something we didn't like. Or we just got to get to that place where we're acknowledging God. I'm going to tell you, folks, we could rip the sign down. We could take the AC out. And if we'd start just acknowledging God, people would come to church, whether you invited them or not. They'd see something in your life. They say, I don't know what you got. My granddaughter was in there this morning, and they were laying hands on her, praying for her, Madeline. And she began to prophesy. She said, I see you laying hands on sick people at your school. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, that'll change the school. We keep saying we got to get prayer back in. They got to start handing out Bibles. No, we just got to start living the lie, because a student can do anything they want. They can lay hands on the sick in the playground. Well, it's going to change the playground. A crippled child in the playground gets healed, it's on. It is on. They'll be calling the school wanting to know, what happened to that crippled girl? Oh, Madeline laid hands on her, she got healed. Where does she go to church? We'll find out. We're going. What time does it start? 6 a.m. We'll get there at 5:30 to get a seat. We won't have to worry about building a building. We're going to have to go rent a building, because they're going to be coming in from everywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says here that I got to lay a little bit of groundwork, and I'm cutting down the small trees so we can get to the big trees, okay? We're getting the underbrush taken care of. Now the God of peace himself, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it? Spirit and body. Thank you. Say that again. Spirit, soul, and body. Make sure you keep that right. Because I've even heard preachers say body, soul, and spirit. That ain't the way it is. We got to do it like the word says, spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit beings. I wrote down something Pastor Mark said. He goes, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. We're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. That's what the world wants us to think. And I'm afraid that's what some of us are doing. We just have a spiritual experience. In fact, I know people that are they're not even having a spiritual experience. They're just going to church. I'm trying to be nice. I went to church all my life. There wasn't no spiritual experiences. I walked into a church like this, and I thought, I ain't coming back. And I left. I waited till the service was over. I was respectful, but I came back. And I said, no, I was right. I shouldn't have come back. I'll never come back. And I came back. The next thing I know, I'm walking down the aisle. Next thing I know, they're doing a baptism out at Swanee Springs. You know where Swanee Springs is? Some of my drinking buddies and my dope smoking buddies are out here like, my God, what's Chris doing? He must really be high. He's doing acid. He's letting some old man baptize him down there in the water. The point I'm trying to make is I was thinking about Paul and Eric. Where are they at? Eric, Paul. Eric and Amy. Amy, you were here at a service and you said, I'm not coming back anymore. And that was the word Marcus Croner gave. He said, there's somebody here that says, this is where you're supposed to be. Don't leave. And that was a word for you. Thank God. Thank God. Where's Eric? He's doing security. God bless him. Bless him, Lord. I was at their house Friday. I was meeting some people in Monticello and went by there. That's just an awesome family. If you haven't been to their house, you need to go. It's a zoo. I'm not talking about their kids. I'm talking about the animals. I'm sorry. The animals. Hallelujah. So, So we're going to look at the spirit, the soul, and the body real quick, just in case you don't know what that is. May our whole spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. We are spirits that live in a body, that we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions. Those are all part of the soul or the mind. You can call it the will. You know, you hear, I think Joyce Meyer has a teaching called The Battlefield of the Mind. So you got your spirit man over here. We used to do a drama called The Tug of War. You got your body over here, and then you got your spirit man over here. And, you know, I think Pastor Mark says, whoever you feed the most is going to win. And then your mind is in the valley of decision. What do I do? Now, you need your mind. We don't need our mind. But the Bible doesn't say we are led as children of God. I think it's Romans 8:14. As sons of God, we are led by the Spirit of God, not the mind. The Spirit. We're led by our spirits. And you're going to see that pretty clear in just a minute. So, with the body, everybody say body, we contact the physical realm. We have five senses. Those are physical senses. What are they? Hearing, smelling, seeing, tasting, and feeling. Five senses. You don't want to be led by your five senses. Now somebody said, well, that's stupid. If it's burning your hand, move it. Well, you know, that's common sense. But spiritually speaking, you want to be led by the Spirit, not your senses. Amen? And well, senses are good, especially for people that don't have the Holy Spirit. Amen? With the body, we contact the physical realm. With our spirit or our heart or spirit, when you say heart, we're not talking about the cardio. We're talking about the heart of man. My wife loves me with all her heart. If she gets a heart transplant, I guess that means she don't love me anymore. No. No. She loves me with her whole being. The part of her that's like God. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, we were created in God's image. We were created in God's likeness. In the likeness of God, in the image of God. That's why the devil hates you. When he sees you, he sees God. And somebody says, he ain't God. He's created in the image of God. He was given dominion on this earth. And I know, Charlie, he's taking it back. Amen? He's taking everything that was given to him. And then the Bible says in, where's that? In Ephesians, to be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators. We've been accepted into the beloved, Ephesians says. You know, if he's calling you his beloved, man, he loves you as much as I love them grandbabies over there. I love them a lot. There's probably not anything I wouldn't do for them. Amy and Eric, as much as you love them kids, God loves you more. Now, that's big love. Now, I know people don't love their children, don't love their grandchildren. I don't understand that, but I'm telling you, God is not a God. He's a God of his word. He's a God of love. He is love. God is love. We were talking about that this morning. The Bible said, now abideth faith, hope, and love in 1 Corinthians 13, but the greatest of these is love. So I just asked the question, why is love so great? What about faith and hope? He said, because I'm not faith and I'm not hope. I am love. God is a spirit of love. And sometimes we say, well, I don't understand. Why did this happen? Forget all that. How many military folks we got in the room today? If you're part of Moody Air Force Base, wave your hand. Stand up. Just stand up. We need to honor you anyway. Thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you. People move all over the world and travel. We're going to do something in Moody. I'm fixing to have a meeting with somebody out there. We're going to do something. I don't know what we can do. We're going to do what we can and believe God for the rest. Amen. God's big enough. He can make it happen. Amen. So you go to, have you ever, you Moody folks, have you ever gone to your commanding officer and said, why? I don't think so. What fool? But we'll go to God and say why. Like, my sergeant's more important than God. So you don't ask why. Now you can say, what do you need me to know about this situation? That's more like it. And in fact, that's probably a good question if you ask your commanding officer. Yes, sir, what do you need me to know about this job you get me to do? And I've heard somebody say this, when you've done all you know to do, you need to know some more. You don't need to do some more because that's when you get in trouble. You need to know some more. And the Holy Spirit ain't holding back. He will not withhold any good thing from you to ask. Amen? Man, that's right. There's worth the whole day. Hallelujah. So With our body, we contact physical. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. We contact God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, when I pray in the spirit, I speak directly to God. I speak to God. I told my granddaughter this morning, I said, baby, you got a hotline. They used to have red phones. You know, you can pick up the red phone. That thing can get you right there. You got a red phone to heaven. You can get in. You don't understand everything, but you're praying out things. When the crises of life come, when you hit a roadblock in your life, praying in the Holy Ghost. I tell you, I've hit some spots where I couldn't pray in English. You know, you've been in a situation where somebody ran the door and said, pray, my God is, and they run out the door. Let's see, what do we do? My mind ain't helping me right here. Now, you can pray in your understanding. I can only pray in English. I can't pray in Spanish. I could probably pick up a few words in Spanish if somebody's speaking in Spanish and praying. But when I pray in other tongues, I'm building myself up. I'm praying in the Spirit. And folks, I tell you, most of the times, anything I ever got from God when I was praying in other tongues, I'd get a thought, oh, wow, that's got to be God. I've got to go write that down. Or we were praying the other day, and we were praying in tongues, and Myrna had a message in tongues, and I had an interpretation. Now, you know, everybody wants to jump on that scripture. Yeah, but it says if there's not an interpreter, you need to remain quiet. Yeah, but if you're in a room full of people, that's all they're doing. It's okay. It says if the unbeliever's coming in there, you would confuse them. I get that. We're not trying to, you know. But if everybody, the music's jacked up and everybody's praying, it's okay. You know what I mean? Now, if you've never spoken in tongues, listen, it's obvious. If you've never done algebra and you go into a room and they're doing algebra, you're going to feel real out of place. If you go into a place and you never seen them lay hands on the sick, you're going to feel real out of place because they don't teach healing. They don't teach algebra at my school. Well, some churches, they don't teach healing. It's in the Bible. Jesus went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, and casting out devils. Three things. One third of what he did was cast out devils. I'm telling you, folks, I don't believe a Christian can't be possessed by a demon, but I do believe a Christian can be oppressed by a demon. Because I've already said this once. I didn't intend to go this way, but this is where the Holy Spirit wants to go. Your spirit is perfectly perfect. In fact, Charlie, your spirit is seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. My God, don't get no better than that. Now somebody says, well, he's here. He is here. That's his body, and he's got a soul. But spiritually speaking, the Bible says he is a citizen of heaven. A citizen of man. He means he's a citizen. He lives in heaven. You can't be a citizen of where you don't live. He has a citizenship. In fact, I tell people, if you're born again, you're an illegal alien in the earth, spiritually speaking. Somebody say amen. He took a vow, Romans 10:9-10. He denounced his darkness citizenship, and he came over into the light, Colossians 1:13. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The new birth's not signing a roll, getting a star on your chest and saying, I'm a member of Anchor Faith Church. That's good. You need to be a member of Anchor Faith Church. But bump being a member. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I've been adopted into the heavenly kingdom. Abraham is my father. I didn't know much about adoption. My son adopted four boys and my daughter adopted a girl. I went from 5 grandkids to 10 in about 4 months. It'll make your head spin when you got to go rent a condo for 17. I forgot. We lost count. My son's getting married. We're adding one more. You know, every time you got to get another bedroom. But my God supplies all my needs. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Bosheke. I'm having to pray it out because I don't want to get lost. Hallelujah. So the Word of God says in, where do I want to go? Wow. Let's look at the body real quick. Romans 12:1. I beseech you there, Romans 12:1-2. This covers the body and the mind. Well, you got to do something with your body. You know, Pastor Mark talked about buffeting. We all buffet our bodies. We need to stay away from the smoking pig and the old time. Hallelujah. I call it the hog trough. Hallelujah. Wow. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You can have all three. Amen. And then in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body under. I don't let my body tell me what to do. I keep it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. We were in Bulgaria November. We were in Bulgaria in November, and I went along with y'all know Shelly, me and Grace and Terry and my daughter. A few of us went over, and I just felt like the Lord told me to go. And somebody said, "Are you ministering?" I said, "No, I'm here to serve." And then I even got to questioning God. I said, "God, why am I here?" And here's what He said, Tommy. I was like, "Wow, Adam, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get you in. You're going to get to preach one night or something." You know, and He said, "I brought you here to die." I'm like, "Oh, you mean like literally?" Or and then the next day, where we had, I think, Grace, you remember, they had all the leaders in there, and he goes, "Listen, we have people come here to serve, and they just want to minister, do something." He goes, "But Lord said, you know," I'm looking around the room, I think He's talking to me. And then I said, I walked up to him and said, I'm here to serve you in any way possible. He goes, "Can you be the water boy?" Yes. The kids are making fun of me. "Oh, you're the water boy." They said, "We need you to make sure you have water at every minister's place." I said, "You want lukewarm or you want room temperature? Or do you want iced? Do you want it in a glass with ice or do you want a twist of lemon? How do you want it? Because it's going to be served up right because I died. I don't care. I'll be the floor mat. You can walk across my back." And the Holy Spirit began to say some things. And just in the last couple months, I've been faced with some situations where I didn't like the way I responded in some situations. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. And one time I had to go back and apologize to a group of people for my behavior. Now, it was uncalled for. And it wasn't nothing bad. Don't look at me like you. It was over the edge just a little bit. And the Lord convicted me. He said, "Dead people don't do that." And I went and I apologized to the person and the group of people. And they said, "Oh, that wasn't that bad." I said, "Yes, it was. I didn't need to do that. That was not representative of what I wanted the people to see." I'm going to tell you, can you do that a few times? You'll walk straight. And I love Pastor Mark's message. I'm going to tell you something. If you heard his message last week and you haven't heard it at least once, you need to hear it again. In fact, I'm going to hear it again. I've already heard it for the second time. And I thought, wow, I thought it was good the first time. There was more in there than I could get. Like you said, Stacey, you can't write it down fast enough. It's a word. It was a resurrection word. And so I just began to say, "Lord, I'm gonna be that guy that's the guy that spoke one Wednesday night, an agent of change. When I go into a situation, I want it to change for the better because I'm there. Not because I'm there, because you're there in me. I'm a vessel for you. And Lord, you can lay me down." The Lord told me one day, I need you to be a piece of pipe. The pipe don't tell the plumber where it needs to go. You just flat going in the hog pen. I'm running you across that poop right there. Yes, sir. I'll lay in the poop and you can run through me all you want. Because we want to tell him, "Well, I'll go here, but I ain't going there." Oh, yeah. You ain't going to work as a piece of pipe. Piece of pipe don't talk back. Piece of pipe gets thrown into crap. Amen? Now, that's just real. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll be the pipe, it'll flow through you. And you can live off the residue and it'll be good. Amen? I'll just take the residue. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all ain't getting this. You'll get it. Hallelujah. Don't shout me down. Hallelujah. So we talked about the body. How about the mind? "Therefore, I lay aside all filthiness." I'm sorry, James 1:21. James 1:21. We just talked about the mind. Be transformed by the what to your mind? What do you do to your mind? Renew your mind. Your mind needs renewing. So when I first got saved, somebody told me, "They brainwashed you." I said, "Son, if you knew my brain, I needed a washing. My brain needed washing. I was a foul-mouthed idiot. And it took me a while." Listen, when you got born again, you're it's perfect. Your spirit, you can't get no better. It's got all the information. It's connected. If any man, 1 Corinthians 5:17, this will help you, understanding you're a spirit. If you'll get that in your mind, that I'm a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a mind. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a brand new woman. You're a brand new man. You're a brand new creature. That is the spirit being. That's the real you. Paul said it's better that he goes, I've caught him in betwixt too, whether to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. If he'd have just said better, it would have been good. It is far better to depart. Who's he talking about? He ain't talking about his body. He's talking about me. It's better if I depart. What's departing? His spirit. You're a spirit being. You live in a body. It's a shell. Every funeral I've ever been to, there was a body there. The body don't go. The body stays. Thank God we're getting a new body. The Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man, the real you, is renewed day by day. I'm getting stronger on the inside, and it's flowing over to the outside. Hallelujah. I told somebody, we were somewhere recently, and they said, you're 63 years old. That can't be. I said, it's called the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. I believe it can leak over on you. Hallelujah. So what did I say? James? I said James. Oh, I'm sorry. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your souls. Now, it's not talking about getting born again. It's talking about the renewing of the mind, saving your soul. Remember, that word salvation is a big word. It includes everything you'll ever get. I like to say it is the kingdom. It is your inheritance. Now, the new birth is the entrance into salvation. It's the door. And some people get in the door and they lay on the floor mat and they sleep there. And they're grumbling. They don't have enough to eat. They don't have no clothes to wear. They don't have a car. But they're just inside the door. And there's a garage back there with a Porsche in it, with a Ford pickup truck, King Ranch, with mud grips, an RV. There's a chef back there cooking. You walk on the back door, there's a porch with a fishing pole and a boat, multiple fishing poles. And all we want to talk about is how bad we were in the past, and we ain't even gone in the kitchen. And there just happens to be every clothes you wear is your size, shoes, clothes, everything. Everything. God's got everything for you. Now, somebody says, you believe just God's doing? No, I just believe that we've settled for just getting in the door, and we ain't walked on. In fact, most people, when they tell their testimony, it's how bad it used to be. I want to talk about how good I am and where I'm going. What am I doing for the kingdom? I don't have a problem with you sharing where I came out of, and you're talking to people that need to hear that, because it's a testimony. But how about where am I going with this thing? I'm pressing on to the high call of God. Wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being light, that I may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Somebody say amen. You can't break heaven. How much is enough? Enough to win the whole world. If I got to buy a cruise ship to do part of it, I'll do that. Amen. We'll do cruises for the gospel. Whatever. If God gave you a vision, I believe you could get a cruise ship if you just decide, I'm going to open up a cruise ship and I'm going to do cruises for people to get born again. Ain't no alcohol in this boat. We got the Holy Ghost, new wine. Amen? You can come on this cruise, you'll get healed, delivered, and set free. Amen? We got prayer rooms instead of gambling rooms. Amen? Somebody's got a vision. There it is. Go for it. Hallelujah. God's got enough money to buy a boat. He built them. Amen? You can call it the Ark. Hallelujah. We'll name you Captain Noah. Thank you, Jesus. So where were we? Soul, spirit. Everybody say spirit. We were created in God's image. So God created mankind in his own image. Mankind. I'm a mankind, a womankind. That includes every kind. God, the Good News Translation says this. God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female. You know, God took woman out of man. So it's only natural for a man and a woman to come back together. Now, they won't like that at CNN, but that's okay. We're not bowing to CNN. Somebody say amen. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the scripture I just read. Here's what the Phillips translation says. We wish you could see how all this working out for your benefit and how all this is working out for your benefit and how the more grace God gives, the more thanksgiving will redound to your glory. This is the reason why we never collapse. The outward man does not indeed suffer wear and tear. The outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives new and fresh strength. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then 1 Peter 3:4, it says, rather let it be the hidden man of the heart. Everybody say the hidden man. One translation says the hidden person. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's 1 Peter 3:4, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's talking about the inward man. That's talking about the real you. That's talking about the part that's creating God's image. You know, God, when God was talking to the woman at the well, he said, God is a spirit. Well, if God is a spirit and you were created in his image, what does that make you? A spirit. You're a spirit being. That's why the devil hates you. That's why the devil loves abortion. Anytime a person enters this room with a, what do you call it, umbilical cord, that's a belly button. That's a person that was created in God's image. And the devil says, I want to stop births. I can't be like them, but I can stop them from happening. Amen. And he don't want you going anywhere and doing anything. He don't want you coming to a church that teaches the word of God. He don't want you getting this information. You know, I understand now why Paul had a thorn. He said, I think it's in, it's 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12, I believe. And he said, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. Now, folks, he was in the spirit. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. And the revelation that he brought, the revelation is the most unbelievable revelation in the history of mankind. The Apostle Paul. If you don't think the devil wanted to take that fool out, you got to be crazy. We live. I mean, I don't, you know, Adam, you send me stuff, I send you stuff. We live off of the epistles. There's some dangerous information to the devil in there. And there's people, they never even got in the epistles. They're still in the old covenant. There's nothing wrong with the old covenant, but it's a sign of what's coming. Who wants to stand by the sign when you can go to the city? Amen? I ain't going to stand at the city limit sign. I'm going on in. So we see this, and he says, there was a messenger of the devil. People say, well, God. No, God, it says a messenger of the devil. Can you read? A messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. And here's what God said. My grace is sufficient. God said, that's already taken care of. You just keep moving. He can't hang. He's defeated. Use your keys. I mean, somebody thought Paul was some supernatural genius. He was a great man, but he still was a human being. He had to use the name of Jesus. He had to use faith. He got kicked, beat, but he just kept going. His grace is sufficient. So don't stop. Don't quit. Amen. So now we're getting to where we want to get. We may have to go over a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's worth the price of the entry. Just hold on. Proverbs 20:27. You want to make sure you get this. This is life-changing. This is life-changing. We've been talking about the spirit. You're a spirit being. And here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 20:27 about the spirit of man. It says, this is your spirit. This is not the spirit of God because it's in small. Anytime the spirit of God, it's a capital S. This is a little S. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now that word belly is heart, is the inward man, is the inside. It's not everybody's looking down at their stomach. Don't do that, okay? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. A modern day translation would say, the spirit of man, modern day would say, is the iPhone of the Lord. Everybody's got a flashlight. You know what I mean? We all have a flashlight now. The spirit of man is the candle or the light, or one translation says lamp of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. In other words, your spirit, when it's been recreated in righteousness and true holiness, is the part that discerns good and bad. It's like, okay, you don't need to do that. And then here's the problem we have with most people. They get into soulish praying. Everybody say soulish. That's where you're just praying out of your mind. That's all right. You need to pray in your understanding. And when I say soulish, a lot of times we're just praying and we're just almost complaining. We're just letting our thoughts burst loose. I mean, sometimes you just better just shut it down and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why I pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't. It's never going to be a selfish prayer if you're praying in tongues. Somebody say amen. Now, I do. I pray in my understanding, and I'll pray things out. I'll write things down. The Message Bible says, let's see, where am I at? The spirit conscious of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being. Romans 8, 14 and verse 16. There's two verses. Romans 8, 14 and 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If somebody thought that's just for a pastor, just for this. No, it's for everybody. Anybody can become a son or daughter of God. Somebody say amen. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I want to stay at that place. And verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's a capital S. Everybody say capital. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are children of God. No, I'm sorry. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits, yeah, that we are children of God. The Message says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It is adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms that we really are who we really are. That's good. We got identity issues. If you're in the Spirit, you won't have identity issues. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms that we really are who we know who He is. We know who we are, Father and children. And we know that we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we will certainly go through the good times with Him. Somebody say amen. Now, this is where I wanted to get. Hebrews 4:12. I quoted this to the pre-service group this morning. We're going to pray for some folks. Hebrews 4:12. It was interesting this morning. I knew what my message was. I knew what I had. And then it came up in prayer as we were praying this morning, how important the Word of God is. The Word of God is utmost importance. Utmost importance. And because you know what? I could be praying in the Spirit and I could come up with something and I'll write it down. Just like with that word over, I was like, Lord, I need a scripture. I need a scripture for that. That as we're here praying, that you're doing stuff for us as we're praying that we don't even know about. I said, yeah. And I actually just thought of another scripture, Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. Well, that's pretty well not what you're thinking about. You're worried about the car payment. He's like, I'm going to take care of the whole house. Well, you're worried about the car. Hallelujah. He's thinking bigger than you are. Amen. So, and then he said, I'm overtaking. My blessings are overtaking you. And that's just a good father. Amen. He loves us. But, you know, you got these people. We were praying about this morning. There's some people that they're like they locked in jail. And they think, well, but my daddy said I was kind of a little slow and it was going to be tough for me in life. You're not a little slow. You're blessed and highly favored. You got the mind of Christ. You know, people quote that scripture in Isaiah. Is it Isaiah 55? That his thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. Yeah, if you need to read that, he's talking to the wicked sinners. Of course they ain't thinking like God thinks. They're sinners. Now, somebody said, you think like God thinks? I think when I'm in the Spirit, I do. Amen? We can think. We have the mind of Christ. I guess that's His thoughts. You understand? You got to be careful. When you read something, go look in context. Who's He talking to? What's He talking about? His thoughts and ways are higher than our ways. No, I'm walking in His way. I'm thinking His thoughts. In fact, I'm speaking them. I don't know if I said this. Everybody point at yourself and say this. Say, God's word is God speaking to me. Now point at your neighbor. Say, God's word is God speaking to you. Now I ask him, what is he saying to you? If people that say God never speaks to me, and I say, when's the last time you opened your Bible? Well, I don't have time. Well, then you'll never hear, God will never speak to you. Are you ready for this scripture? This is going to help you. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any sword you'll ever own. Two-edged sword. It cuts going in, it cuts going out. Piercing even to the dividing under of soul and spirit. That's the problem. That's the problem we have. We're leaning on our mind. We're leaning on our own understanding. We're not acknowledging him. We get confused because somebody said this and it sounded good, so I'm going to go off on that. I'm going to do that because that sounded good. No, you better get a word from the Lord, and you better have a written word from the Lord. You better have a rhema word. The logos is the written word. I was in college and I took a religion class and it was a New Testament. New Testament class. The professor was Jewish. And I'm not slamming Jews. I'm just telling you, he didn't believe the New Testament. And I said, well, I'm like, why are you teaching the New Testament? He goes, I just think it's a great story. Well, that's about dumb as dirt. So one day we're sitting in class and my sister, I look over and she just starts like sweating profusely. She gets up and runs out of the room. I said, she must have had to throw up. In a little while, she called me. She goes, I'm quitting school. I said, quitting school? She goes, why? She goes, if you saw what I saw, you'd quit too. She moved back home. She said, I saw a monkey-like creature. It looked like a monkey to me. She said he had his hands wrapped around that professor's head and had his eyes covered up. He couldn't see the light of the glorious gospel. The Bible says that the god of this world, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving that they might not see the glorious gospel of Christ. God's teaching about Jesus and don't even believe it. Well, years later, we were at Rhema. I graduated from college, which is a miracle from on high. Hallelujah. Went to Rhema. And I remember Brother Hagin saying he was in a service and he saw this monkey-like creature. And I went, oh, my God, that's what my sister saw. I never saw that. I probably ran out of the room like I had to throw up, too. Now we know to take authority of them. You know what? People talk about discerning of spirits. That's a gift of the Spirit. When you start praying in other tongues, you'll start, that's the door to the gifts. That's the one gift you can work. It's your prayer language. You know, there's another gift, speaking in tongues, where it's for the whole body and somebody interprets. That's good. We need that. I've been used in that. But I can pray at any time I want. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject. Not, and when I say prophet, it's whoever. The spirit of man is subject to the man. I can pray in tongues anytime I want. I don't do it in public and freak people out. I might do it under my breath. The cashier's mean to me. Hallelujah. So check this out. So he says here, we are dividing under the soul and the spirit. So if the soul and the spirit can be divided under, it's two separate things. I heard this pastor say for years, it was Brother Hagin actually. He said for years he'd ask people, what's the difference between soul and spirit? He goes, oh, there ain't no difference. And he said, I knew there had to be a difference because he said it could be divided. The word of God divides the soul and the spirit. It divides your mind and your spirit. We need to know there's a difference because you don't need to be led by the mind. Children of God should be led by the Spirit of God. So he said he began to study and God began to show him. And as he began to see the word, and the word is so important. What is God's word saying? Smith Wigglesworth said this. Now somebody said, does anybody know who Smith Wigglesworth was? A few people. If you don't know, he was a preacher. He was a plumber that got born again when he was 50. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Quit plumbing and started preaching. He raised 43 people from the dead. We know people. I met a woman that knew a pastor that lived in her home. We've been to, where was that? Liverpool, England. And there's a story in the book about Liverpool. It's a good story. Read it. She said that they know for a fact, these people we met, and you can go read his books. They called him. I love it that he was a plumber and he didn't get saved until he was 50. There's a little hope for me. Hallelujah. He's 43 ahead of me on raising folks from the dead. Hallelujah. But I'm catching him. Hallelujah. Jesus raises people from the dead. We have to obey him. Amen. He said that in the last days, the Spirit and the Word would agree more than ever. He simply meant that what we have always known, that the Word does not contradict the voice of the Holy Spirit. It will be better understood and practiced just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a pastor say this. Some of the worst arguments and disagreements have come from those who told me the Holy Spirit told them to do something, and I knew it was a contradiction of the written word of God. When questioned, some have even told me they do not care what the Bible says. They know they heard from the Holy Spirit. That's a lie. They heard from the wrong spirit. It's called the spirit of truth. Everybody say the spirit of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And listen, folks, the truth is not a thing. It's a person. His name is Jesus. And the spirit of truth is a spirit that God sent to help us when Jesus left. Pastor Mark talked about the things that were hidden in darkness, the lies, the things that we cover up. And I'm telling you, the truth will make you free. The things spoken in darkness will come to the light and they'll come out. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not afraid. I don't care. It don't matter anymore. I was just in a service. This guy said, it don't matter what I dress like. I mean, I'll take my shirt off. I'll mess my hair up. It don't matter. I don't have to do much to mess my hair up. You know what I mean? I just unbutton my shirt. Listen, it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about God working in and through us. So the last scripture I want to give you is 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, the Bible says if you pray in tongues, pray that you'll interpret, begin to write things down. I hear things, or sometimes I'll see pictures. I was somewhere the other day. I was at a service, and I was standing off to the side, and it was a minister's meeting, and there was some ministers praying for some people. And these people walked up to me, and I'm standing off to the side. I'm like, why did you walk over here to me? I'm minding my own business, Tom. You know, and they said, we felt like you were supposed to pray for us. I said, oh, I guess I need to act spiritual. I need to turn this thing on. I wish I could flip a switch. And here's why. I was at a Randy Clark meeting with my son out in Reading. I guess that was a year ago, a little over a year ago. And he said, when you pray for people, keep your eyes open and look at them. See what God's doing. I was like, okay. Because I usually close my eyes. I guess I thought I was being polite. And the Bible says, watch and pray. I don't know if that's anyway. So I'm looking at this, and I was a lot of these Bethel students, man. They're so outrageous. They're just you walk around, but three people say, "Hey, I got a word for you." Okay, go for it. You know, I don't mind. So I just looked at this guy and I prayed. I said, "Lord, I thank you for this couple." I said their name. I said, "I thank you that you're gonna give me, you're gonna show me something or help me pray for them." I'm not trying to force God. I'm just saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. And I said it out loud in front of them. And then I'm looking at them and I'm praying. And the minute I put my hand on them and start praying, I said, I see this interstate and it's packed with people. It's like wall to wall, four lanes of traffic going crazy. And I saw y'all in a car and y'all pulled off on a rest area. And the girl just broke. I guess I hit a nerve. And she said, oh, that's God. I was like, well, it has to be because I don't know what I was thinking about, an interstate and a rest area. You know what I mean? And I just said, God, you're so good. I wasn't prepared for that. He goes, that's why I need you to stay. Get out of my way. Die. Stay dead. Can you stay dead? Don't play dead. Stay dead. Amen? So I'm here to tell you, we got the greater one lives in us. According to 1 John 4:4, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in me. Pastor Mark says this all the time. I love it. God didn't come to show us what he could do. He came to show us what we could do. He gave us keys. And somebody, if you struggle with this, they don't teach this in my church. Well, it might be time to change churches. Hallelujah. Go to a church that teaches this. There's more churches than this that teach this. Amen. It's called the Word of God. Well, that passed away. Well, if it did, we're in big trouble. Because he said, heaven and earth will pass away before this word passes away. Folks, I don't know. You just got to read your Bible. People have been duped and deceived, and that's not their fault. That was an idiot ahead of them told them that, and they just believed it. I didn't mean to say idiot, please. Oh. You got something? Okay, I was just checking. So, I'm going to do three things. I want the band to come. Finally, they said. Listen, folks, was it Pastor Earl was here a couple? We got out at 1:30. We're going to make it before 1:30, I promise you. Tommy will come up here and drag me off the stage, won't you, Tommy? Pastor Mark said, stop Chris at 1:30. No, he didn't tell you anything anyway. So he did. Okay. Listen, folks, if I was in a service like this and I was halfway listening and I wasn't where I need to be, they'd had to fight me to do an altar call. I'd like to believe that, you know. But if you never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you made him your king. It's not just saying a prayer. It's establishing that I call him Lord. That's what Peter said. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of stuff about Jesus, but you got to believe that he is the living Son of God. And when you confess him as your Lord, according to Romans 10:9-10, Colossians 1:13 kicks in because you get transferred. When you get transferred, the minute you confess him as your King and Lord. And then there's another one that we call it the backslider. You said, "Well, man, I got saved when I was a young man, or when I first got married. I gave my life to Jesus because my wife took me to church." But you just never have progressed. You're grave tending. You're not really walking in the Spirit. You're not really where you want to be. And you said, "You know, I really got to make a renewed commitment." And then the last thing is, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. But I tell you, it sure does make it a lot easier to get there when you can pray in the Holy Ghost. Because otherwise, you're just struggling. I got a brother. This guy's an incredible garden grower. He got some cabbage about the size. I got you a cabbage. You like cabbage? I got one about the size of a basketball. You can paint it orange and shoot it if you want to. Hallelujah. And he says he calls the Holy Spirit 10-10-10. It's like fertilized, boy. You throw that fertilizer, it'll grow. You know Jamie. He said, who would plant a garden without putting fertilizer on it? It'll make you grow. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, I probably prayed in tongues more in the last, we just did a meeting out in Colorado for a week with some young people. We were praying in tongues three hours a day. And I felt like, man, I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pumped up. And we were going out on the streets. We were at this gas station, and I was having kind of a bad day. I got over there, and the gas pump wouldn't work, and I got 5 minutes to get gas and get back over, and they're calling me. And we have these kids, and some of them, we got to eat at McDonald's every meal because that's all they can afford. And I noticed that I went inside because it says you had to go see the clerk. You know, I hate that. I got to go and talk to the clerk. So I go inside. Then you got to guesstimate how much you're going to be able to put in, and I never get it right. You know what I mean? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they're going to fill it up. Oh, they'll put it back on your card. Anyway, there's a little place there that says pizza, hot dogs, wings. I was like, "How much is that food?" He goes, "Oh, it's cheap." I said, "Is it good?" He goes, "Oh, it's good." I was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. I found a place to bring the kids." We were taking them to Sam's Club, and that was good. We were right inside a plaza. There was a Sam. Anyway, if you're ever a youth pastor, you know what I'm talking about. A kid walks up to the counter and goes like this. That means you ain't got no money. When they bow their head like that, they ain't praying. That means they ain't got no money. You got to help them get food. And me and my wife always took extra cash. We got to help them out. And then there's a lady in front of me with two dogs. Why are you bringing dogs in a convenience store? And things ain't working out for me. Because now they're calling me. I got to get back. So I go out there, finally get the gas going. And once again, I missed it. And I look up and there's a guy standing there. And I look at him and the Lord said, "I want you to go talk to him about Jesus." I said, "God, we've been doing that all week. And we've been doing it with these kids. And we're training them. And I'm late and I ain't getting anywhere with him." He said, "No, I want you to go talk to this guy." He said, "Oh, you ain't going to do it now? There ain't nobody here to see you?" Woo, that's a low blow, God. And I said, "Well, oh, God, he looks mean. He's driving a lawnmower truck. There's 2 foot of snow on the ground. It snowed 32 inches 5 days before we got there. And the kids are loving it. These kids never seen snow. I mean, it was almost like the perfect trip. The roads are clean. I walked up to the guy. I finally got the nerve. I just walk over there. I found out you just got to dive in. So I walk. I don't even know what I'm going to say. It's better that way. I said, "Hey, sir, what do you do when there's 3 foot of snow on the ground?" He looks at me without taking a breath. He says, not a GD thing. Yeah, yeah. I did the same thing. I think I went. It was almost like he stiff-armed me in the chest. Adam, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to crawl back to my van and get out of here. Because there was some hindrances, first of all, but when he said that, oh, I'm looking at him now, and he's probably waiting, what are you going to say next? I was like, oh, I said, sir, have you ever thought about your eternity and Jesus Christ and your eternity? And I thought, I've never said anything like that. That's just not the way I would, you know. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, I believe in the good book. I said, well, that's questionable, but okay. That was good because it said, get away from me, you bang, 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 you know. And then he looks at me and he says, I said, sir, can I pray for you? He gets quiet and he looks down the ground. And he looks at me, he goes, I asked him what his name was. I like saying names. He said, my name is Grover. I said, Grover, can I pray for you? He says, yeah, you can. I'm telling you, folks, you know, with Chris as an evangelist, you talk to anybody. I was struggling. Ken, I was struggling. But boy, I tell you, I felt the Holy Spirit come on me. I got to tell you, I'll tell you that in just a second. I said, as I'm praying, I said, God, you want this man to be saved. So in the middle of my prayer, I stopped and said, Grover, I want you to pray the scripture with me. This will bring you into the kingdom of God. You won't have to question anymore. And we pray Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then there was a book in the truck and it said what to do next. Because I wasn't going to give him that. He wasn't saved. But I ran back and I gave him that. And I've been praying for Grover. And when I got back to the truck, the Lord said, I knew what he needed. And I knew where he was at. I just needed you to go talk to him. I didn't need you to figure everything out. I was like, oh, God, I must be an idiot. You wouldn't have told me to go talk to him if you didn't know he was ready. And you know what? If he would have said, get away from me, it was still a seed. He would have had to think, he would have thought about it for the rest of the day. And then maybe Chase runs into him and he comes to Chase's house. And Chase, I'm supposed to ask him something. He said, we don't see that. God's looking down. And then Chase gets him on his knees in his backyard after he's getting ready to mow his grass. And I'm concerned at what I look like at the parking lot at the whatever Circle K or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's just praying and obeying and acknowledging God. Is there anything you want to say to me here? Is there anything I need to do here? Now, somebody said, we're busy and we don't have to. No, listen, God gets that. My son-in-law, these kids' father, his name's Josh Burke. And he said one day, he kept hearing the Lord say, go to the post office. He said, I ain't got time to go to the post office. I got six people I need to see. He just kept, I got to go to the post office. I need to go to the post office, but I got six people. And he said, I'll go to the post office later. I can go to the post office after hours. He finally said, I don't know why. I just go to the post office. All six people he needed to see were at the post office. Well, God's a time-consuming, a time-redeeming God. Amen. So it's nice to just obey. And here's something that actually my son-in-law told me this. Got a good son-in-law. He said, I used to say I was thinking about somebody, and then a few days later, they died. And he goes, Chris, this is what I've learned. If I'm thinking about somebody, I just pick up the phone and call them. We're done. I was thinking about you. You know, and that's what you, I should have told the guy when I walked up to him. I said, the Lord told me to come over and talk to you. That's just what happened. We're not making it up. You ain't got to make something up. Just be real. So when you get filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we got books, we got tapes, we got everything that will teach you the scriptures. But I tell you, sometimes it's easier just to jump in the pool. Just jump in. You know, you go to the springs and they get up on that platform and they stand there for like 30 minutes. And then once they jump in, they run back and jump right back in. It was fear. And here's what I found out. It takes faith to speak in a language that you don't know. It takes a lot of faith. But I just, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. I just, my granddaughter, she just lifted her hands, they laid down, she goes, I was like, you got it, baby. Now, somebody said, that sounds a little weird. Well, I got a granddaughter, she's two, Zoe, and I couldn't understand what she said for about a year now. And I have to ask the kids, what did she say? I ain't real sure. I think she said dog food or something. But now she's putting sentences together. I mean, she's saying three words together, four words. So we got to learn, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And you it's like a child. The more you do it, the more fluent you get. You'll hear something anyway. So those are the three things: born again, the new birth, the backslider. If you want to come back home, and then if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the heavens speaking in tongues, we're gonna have you stand. Everybody stand up. And somebody says, I'm waiting for, if you're waiting, you don't listen to the devil. We're not waiting. You need to just come on. And we're going to give you that opportunity right now. If you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you want to be recommitted. Y'all want the prayer team to come. If that's you, I want you to come on right now. Everybody, if God's speaking to you, you said, I need to recommit my life. I need to be born again. I need to come into the kingdom of God, or I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Any three of those, I need you to come. Hallelujah. If you're born again, start praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's some things that you said, you know, and it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. God's speaking to you, and you said, I want to be filled. I want to be filled up. I want to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're not going to push the issue. We're not going to force it. But it's the door. I tell you what I found out. Jesus, when the Bible says when he went in, he was baptized in the River Jordan, says the Holy Spirit descended on him. He went out in the wilderness, and he came back, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me. That same Spirit. Now, you can be born again, but there's the Spirit. It's an overflowing of the Spirit. It's a river. The Bible talks about the well of salvation, and it talks about rivers of living water in John 7. And the river is for the world. Everybody say the world. The river's for the world. How many would say, I want to be that river? Raise your hand. I want to be that river. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to be that river. Once again, I'm not going to belabor this. If God's speaking to you and you want prayer, I want to ask you one more time. If there's anybody that thinks they want to be down here, raise your hand. Say, I need prayer. I need prayer. If that's you, come on down. Hallelujah. I always tell somebody, if you think you need, you probably need. Just come. Hallelujah. We had somebody. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Did this word bless you? Did you get something? Did he get? Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. You know, I was actually on my knees praying. I got quiet before the Lord, and the Lord said, "I want you to." I just heard this. He said, "Call your sister." So I said, "That's weird." I just thought about it. So I called her, and she said the Lord spoke to her sometime, and she didn't really understand it. She said, "Lord, you got to give me a scripture." And immediately, the word was, my word is above everything. Without my word, you can't do anything. And she said, the Lord told her that when Joshua went to take over, go into the promised land, you remember that? In Joshua 1:8, what did he tell him? He said, be strong and courageous. And then he said something else. He said, do not let this word depart from your mouth. Do not let this word. He didn't say, sharpen your swords. Make sure you got a good army. Make sure they're strong. Make sure they eat their Wheaties. No, he said, do not let this word depart from your mouth, and you'll be able to conquer everything. And they did. Amen. That's the key. When you're questioning what God's saying, always go back to the word. You're in a good place in this church because the word's going to go first and foremost. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that we're agents of change. And we're going into all the world and we're proclaiming you. And Lord, we're gonna lay hands on the sick. We're gonna cast out devils. And Lord, we're not afraid because your word shall not depart from our mouths. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. We trust you received a word from God. If you enjoyed this teaching, be sure to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. By subscribing, you'll be sure to receive a new message every week as soon as they are made available. And if you'd like to learn more about Anchor Faith Church, you can stop by our website at anchorfaithvaldosta.com. There you'll find our locations and service times, ministries that are available for you and your family. You can even give financially in support of the ministry. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Anchor Faith Church podcast.